back to This Week on Channel 9. This is our first show post-build. We are out, of course, for the July 4th weekend here in the United States. It's a holiday. And I'm Brian Keller.
I am Mark DeFalco.
And we have a lot of great stories here this week, some of which kind of build on what you may have heard or learned at a build. So let's jump right in. The first of which is that at TechEd North America last month, we announced that Microsoft was in the process of acquiring a technology called InRelease. This provides release management capabilities for Team Foundation Server. And we're pleased to announce that this week that acquisition is complete, which means that you can go download a preview today of InRelease's release management technology that works with Team Foundation Server 2013. So this is exciting. I just started digging into this myself and trying to learn the technology, but really what it provides is a way for you to manage your releases, which you can think of as builds through all the different release pipelines, dev, test, staging, production, and to give a unified way of having everyone on your team kind of sign off on, you know, are we ready to send this to production? Did QA sign off on it? You know, what happens when we push it to production? And you can have an automated pipeline that does all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I remember working in larger teams. Channel 9 is a smaller team. Working on larger teams, you have someone whose job this is just to manage your entire release.
The release
right?
master.
And all that, because you do. Mm-hmm. You have one version that's at QA, one version that's in some staging environment, another version that's in already in production that you need to be supporting. So.
Yep, and every team is shipping more often than they were even 2 years
right.
ago.
Right, absolutely.
No exceptions out there. So yeah, it's good to see this out there, and I'm excited. Now those guys are on board, they'll be even tighter integrated.
New version of TouchDevelop. TouchDevelop is a really cool kind of way to do development on your phone. You're not going to be writing release management software or Visual Studio off of it, but you can write little scriptlets, commandlets. There are even some games that have been made in this. TouchDevelop 3 has a ton of new support for OAuth 2 event handlers, uploading and searching for art. It's got NFC and proximity detection in it. This release is specifically for Windows Phone 8. It is code compatible with the web version at touchdevelop.com. But there are new speech APIs. There's actually a lot of new stuff they have in this version. It's a free download on the phone. If you go to Send the Marketplace and search for TouchDevelop or go to this blog post, you'll see it. There are some notes about compatibility between Windows Phone 7 and 8 and what is and isn't in each. So you may want to take a look at that if you're porting over any existing scripts. But it's kind of fun. You should try it out.
And if I'm not mistaken, you can use TouchDevelop, the app, to build other apps for Windows Phone 8 that you publish to the store.
Yeah, I mean, it has its own like script library that you can reuse scripts that are already there. Everything is synced to the cloud, so you can play amongst devices, and then you can export apps. And actually, one of the things in this new version is support for generating wide tiles and the new tile sizes and things like that.
Oh, cool.
That's funny.
And can you tell us what app you may or may not have developed at a bar one night?
Without going into too much detail, it may have been an app to help friends with having a power hour.
All right.
You can go to Wikipedia, Urban Dictionary.
I guess. So Rhea Services is getting open source. This has been a really popular request for, last 2 or 3 years now. And so now if you rely on Rhea Services to kind of program the client-side and server-side interaction between your applications, typically business applications, now this has been donated to the Outer Curve Foundation, which is the same area that holds a lot of these open source projects like NuGet and Orchard and that sort of thing. And so you can go grab that and start extending it and contributing. And I know they're looking for people that want to kind of, you know, help take it under their wing and own parts of it and that sort of thing. So that's really exciting. Congrats to those guys for getting that out there. Secondly, what's new for Windows developers, Windows 8.1 developers? And so this is a really nice walkthrough by Jeffrey Richter, I believe. And he goes through and he highlights some things that I had missed coming out of the Build conference, things that are new for Windows 8.1 developers. So a couple of things in here worth taking a closer look at include like the new settings panel. So they call it What is it called?
Right.
Settings Flyout. Thank you. Yeah, so the Settings Flyout, typically this is in the past with Windows 8, you would have had to write this yourself or go get a component from a component vendor. This is now just built in. There's changes to the app bars, the command bars, changes to search. Another one is, of course, in order for you to write to some of the new large tile formats, that gives you new surfaces as a developer to kind of light up the way that your app conveys information. And perhaps most significant is the Contoso Cookbook app that's been updated to take advantage of not everything, but certainly most of these capabilities as well. So certainly go grab the Contoso Cookbook there. This is a namespace comparison as well. So if you're looking for really understanding at a namespace level what the difference is between Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, this is a really nice breakdown that shows you what's new, what's, I don't think anything's been removed, but certainly the things that have been added. I think it's kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah,
there.
I think they said there's a couple things that had moved namespaces and such. They have a little note in there. It's, yeah, if anything's missing, they just haven't kept track of it. It's an unofficial diff, so.
Right, right. And then, speaking of samples, there's another sample download pack that you can grab. So, 179 megs of C++ samples, for example, and almost 100 megs of C# and JavaScript samples. So, just tons of stuff to go get started and dig in. And I just finished today upgrading all my machines to Windows 8.1. So I'm very, very happy. Takes a little bit of time to upgrade, but after an hour or so of reboots, it's all running. And I have to say, so far, I'm really pleased. I don't know if you're on 8.1 yet.
I'm on half and half. My Surface and my RT and my home desktop are, and then my laptop and another desktop aren't. So I'm in between right now.
Windows 8.05.
Pretty much.
All right. 50 apps by Christmas. What's this all about?
This is, and I already forgot to point out his name. Let me do that real quick.
Jason something.
Jason Roberts.
Yes.
Made a goal for himself. And actually, I first thought this was the beginning of the year, but it's the beginning of June to write 50 apps by Christmas. So basically by end of year 2013. So this is number 9, I believe, in his projects. And this one is porting of a Silverlight app over to Windows 8. And this specific one is a piano app that allows you to kind of put in what key you're in and kind of like that, and then...
And this is an app he wrote.
So he wrote this previously.
And he was interested kind of as a thought exercise to see what it would take. And I love it when people do this and then document their
approach. And he actually has a couple of good goals here. So the whole series, he's trying to rewrite stuff into portable class libraries, all the business logic, separate out the UI, kind of all good programming patterns to use.
Yep.
And then is going to try to build a kind of reusable set of libraries to use. Kind of, I think every developer has that couple solutions you go back to every time, like, oh yeah, I've written this once, oh yeah, I've written that once.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to build up that stuff. So this one is a piano app, like I said. So he goes through, has a walkthrough of how he converted stuff first over to the PCL and then reintegrated that with his app. Said there was minor changes, nothing major, but kind of wanted to make sure that still worked with the old UI, still does work with Silverlight. And then just made the new UI and put it on. So
great.
It's actually available in the store, and the source is available. You can go take a look at it. And you said if it's popular enough, he'll make the UI look better.
Great. So what's this next one? This is 25 Secrets for Faster ASP.NET. The Eagle Has Landed.
Yes. I don't really know about that subtitle.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some inside thing I'm not aware of. But our friends at Redgate, makers of a bunch of cool software, they had a 50 Ways to Avoid, Find, and Fix ASP.NET problem performance issues that launched earlier in the year, and this is 25 tips and tricks on performance in there, and it's kind of cool. Has some stuff about the correct way to use async and await, or when you really should be using it, basically to make sure you maximize your pool connections. How to do web API tracing, the new web API stuff in the new
three times fast
new web API. Database access, how to profile more accurately when using your SQL connections, all sorts of like little tips and tricks, stuff you may be doing, stuff. There's some stuff on there I was like, yeah, I'm doing. And then other stuff, like, I want to go look at my code again to make sure we're doing that. But a nice little document, PDF. I think you have to give them your email address, but it's a free ebook after that.
Great. That's awesome. So next up, we have Windows Phone 8 development for absolute beginners. And so this was kind of put together by Larry Lieberman and Bob. I'm spacing on Bob's
Tabor?
Last name. Bob Tabor.
Yeah.
Thank you, and a few other folks. And so the Absolute Beginner series. If you're not familiar with this, this is really a great series that we've done for things like C# development and Windows Forms over the years and WPF. And it really assumes that you know nothing getting started with this. And so it's great because a lot of the content that we do, we build on existing knowledge. Like, hey,
right.
If you want to build for Windows Phone, it's kind of like building for Windows Store. It's kind of like for building for WPF applications. But if you've never done any of those things, how do you get started, right? And so this is kind of a way to back up and say, let's level set from square one, square zero, depending on if you're doing VB or C#,
right,
I guess. And then just kind of take you from there. So this is a great series, and really excited to see this become available.
And when you say from step zero, I mean, they really are like, this is Visual Studio, this is how you download it, this is the right way to do it. I mean, you have no knowledge of programming in general, let alone Windows or Windows Phone development. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we oftentimes lose sight of that. But if I think about, like, I've never done Android development, but where do I get started? Well, it'd be good to know what kind of IDE I should download and those sorts of things. So, yeah, really, good way to get started. This next one I like, which I didn't even know this was possible, but this is a new experience from Nokia, set of sample apps that allow you to take advantage of the Hear apps, which are all built into Windows Phone 8. I think all brands now can get the Hear apps. And so this builds on all the popular services that Nokia has had for years, so like their map services and their transit services, which they've brought to Windows Phone. And they've, with Windows Phone 8, made that available to all Windows Phone devices. So if you don't already have the Hear apps, I highly recommend them. I use them everywhere around the world to get myself unlost, whether it's finding a subway or finding walking directions somewhere or whatever. And now, as a developer for Windows Phone 8, you can take advantage of those in your applications as well. So if you want to add navigation directly to your app, you can do that. So that's just really, really cool. I didn't know that we were even
cross app via apps. Basically just via the normal URI schemes. So you call a certain kind of URI scheme, it'll pop up their app, and you can have step by step driving directions from your app.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Another thing that I didn't even know existed, and I'm super excited to see that it's available, is this series on Channel 9, it's part of the Microsoft Virtual Academy, on how to utilize the sysinternals tool. So I think everyone knows sysinternals and Mark Rusinovich, and I have to say, there's some of those tools which I know inside and out. There's other tools that I don't even know how to begin to use them.
Process Explorer, right?
So people are like, well, what does Process Explorer say? When I report a bug, I'm like, I don't know what Process Explorer does, but this is really good because they go through kind of the most popular tools, of course, including Process Explorer, and they break it down for you in terms that anyone can use and kind of wrap your head around to get started with. So this is awesome to see this series available.
Yeah, Mark also actually did a series of these sessions at TechEd about hunting down malware using Process Explorer, Procmon, all those tools. So
awesome.
Yeah, these are really cool tools.
That's great. Cool. Immutable isn't just for parallel code.
Yes. So we have the BCL team, the base class libraries team, the ones who bring you all the basic...
System.io.
Right. Yeah. A little bit of stuff you kind of need. You don't want to write yourself. They have come out with an out-of-band release with that includes immutable arrays, immutable collections. And so previously, basically if you didn't want someone to write or to modify a list you're passing off via an API or whatever, API, you would have to basically new up an array. Like, arrays are immutable in .NET, but there have been numbers of read-only collections or things, they kind of worked, but you could always cast them back to a list or an enumerable or these other things and get around it. These are really ways to go and show exactly to your callers what kind of data you either want to receive or give back, and really enforce that policy. Now, the one note they say in there, it's not just for parallel code, is because it's super important when you have multiple threads or processes running on the same set of data. You obviously don't want them to be changing, removing, moving stuff around. Otherwise, everything will will blow up in your face. But it's not just for parallel code. Like I said, a lot of times you want to be able to hand off data, not have to make a new copy every time, not have to take that performance hit. So check this out. The blog has a couple of good use cases for this.
Yep. And that brings us to our picks of the week. And both of our picks of the week are kind of nostalgic. This one, my pick of the week, is from Jeremy Likeness, another Wintellect post. And so he realized the other day that he's been writing code for nearly 30 years. And so he kind of did a walk down memory lane, and he started with BASIC, and he goes all the way through all the different languages that he's worked with, and he shows how to do Hello World in all these different flavors from his past. So it was kind of cool to go through and see, you know, all the different ways that you could do Hello World. And I remember actually when I first learned BASIC, I found the shorthand. You could do the, did you ever program BASIC?
QBASIC.
Like, okay, you know, you could do like a question mark, and that would do a print, basically. It was shorthand for print.
I had no idea.
And so I think I failed an interview one time in college because I kept putting question marks on the board every time I meant print, and I don't think the guy that was interviewing me like had any idea that stood for like print. And so yeah, that one kind of bit me a little bit, but anyway, side note.
QBASIC my first as well. Yeah.
I mean, you probably did this too, copying all the games out of the back of the magazines and programming them.
I remember checking a book out of the library. Yep. I think I had to check it out 3 times before I can actually copy line by line out of the book into code.
Exactly.
And still never get it to compile.
I like your pick of the week too.
Yes, Link to ASCII Art. It's not exactly a library or something that you can reuse, but it is a kind of neat way of looking at how to write kind of procedural functional code and convert art straight into ASCII characters. So ASCII art, man, I feel old if I have to explain ASCII art.
No,
I used to.
I spent my weekends when I was a kid, like for a while, like writing ANSI art, and like I remember I was all into NBA Jam at the time, and so I made this ANSI art for NBA Jam. It was, I probably still have them somewhere, which is unfortunate. I don't even know if you can display ANSI in Windows anymore. Like,
sure,
load up a library or something. I don't know. But
sure, like GIMP or something would load it on there.
Okay, all right.
But yeah. I mean, spending time, making sure I did a lot of like bubble ASCII art. You know, those slashes, big bubble letters all over the place.
Yeah.
That was my kind, because I couldn't do stuff like the ASCII Mona Lisa like they do.
Oh no.
But this just shows how in a single line of link code, basically capturing the bitmap, breaking down the pixels, detecting, like converting to grayscale, detecting how high or low it is, and then converting it to an array of characters.
You've seen the Azure SDK?
Which?
So the Azure SDK command prompt, actually, when you run, I think it's run a help command, it actually shows Windows Azure, like in ASCII.
Yeah.
It was a great throwback. I really love what they did there. But anyway, I think that's our show. So we will see you next week, and I think Dan Fernandez will be back, but who knows where the heck that guy is.
Two great gentlemen will provide you with your week's worth of news.
That's right. We'll see you next week.
Next week.